This is Saturday Extra on RN with Hamish McDonald. Now, should an employer be able to access an employee's health records? A federal court decision has determined that an employer, the privately owned Metro Trains in Sydney, can subpoena a particular employee's medical records from any doctor that man has seen in the last 5 years. Now, this is all because the employee was said to have lied about having a sleep disorder. He was not a train driver, we should make that clear, although he may have had to move an empty train from time to time. This is a significant decision, some observers say, and one which potentially shifts the goalposts on employee privacy and on the importance of honesty and dishonesty in the employee-employer relationship. The decision was delivered late last week by Justice Wendy Abraham, but seems to have slipped under the radar somewhat. So we thought it was worth exploring today. And joining us are David Thompson, a partner at Hunt & Hunt Lawyers in Melbourne. David's in charge of the firm's employment law team, mostly representing employers. And he has a special interest in health cases. Also with me this morning is Shay McChrystal, a professor of labour law at Sydney University. To both of you, welcome and good morning.
Thank you, Hamish.
Thank you, Hamish.
David, could you just bring us all up to speed on the outline of this particular case, as can be determined from the published decision?
Yes, Hamish. Well, Metro Trains in Sydney dismissed this employee in March of this year for dishonesty. And the union, the Rail, Tram and Bus Union, claimed that Metro Trains had taken adverse action against the employee by dismissing him for unlawful reasons. And those unlawful reasons under the Fair Work Act are that because he was a union delegate and had done preparatory work for an application to the Fair Work Commission for an order that a majority of relevant employees want to bargain for an enterprise agreement. And secondly, the union alleges that he was dismissed simply because he was a member of the union. Now, the person who dismissed the employee at Metro Trains, its chief staff officer, states that the reason for the termination was not that at all. He claims that he wasn't aware about this employee's union activities or his membership. And he says he dismissed the employee because it was his belief that the employee had dishonestly failed to disclose his medical condition in a health assessment questionnaire.
So this was in January of this year?
This was in February he filled out the questionnaire.
Right.
And the questionnaire had one question which says said something along the lines, have you been told by a doctor that you suffer from one of these conditions? And there's a list of tick boxes underneath that. And one of those conditions was sleep apnea or other sleep disorder. And he ticked no to that, although the evidence was that 6 weeks earlier he'd completed the same questionnaire differently and had actually ticked yes in that box.
So there were there was sort of contradictory information presented in two versions of this same questionnaire.
That's correct. So the union has issued legal proceedings against Metro Trains Sydney seeking reinstatement of the employee to his position. And the court hasn't heard the claim for reinstatement yet. That is on later this month. But the significant decision you pointed out 9 days ago was that Metro Trains Sydney successfully obtained an order from the federal court requiring the employee to provide Metro Trains with information about all of his treating health practitioners over the last 5 years. Specifically, the order says that he needs to provide the name, address and contact details of any medical clinic, any hospital or any health provider he's attended in the last 5 years. And this was to enable Metro Trains to issue subpoenas to his treating health practitioners to produce information at the hearing about the employee's medical condition.
Okay. So I think it's worth just stressing, well, from what we understand, we've been told by the union, the Australian Rail, Tram and Bus Industry Union, they've said that Robert Carr, the individual we're talking about, was a station attendant, not a driver, but that there was the possibility they might need to move some trains from time to time. Shay McChrystal, what does it tell you from reading the judgment about why this questionnaire became so important?
Hamish, the questionnaire became so important here, I believe, because of the issue of dishonesty. So the allegation in this case is that the employer has taken adverse action against the employee, and the union says that adverse action is termination, and that is because the employee is a member of the union and has been involved in industrial activities. The employer says, no, we took the action because the employee was dishonest, and the dishonesty arose from the two competing health assessments, the one in January where the employee said, yes, I do have sleep apnea, and the one subsequent to that in February where the employee didn't tick the sleep apnea box.
And is it clear why he filled out this questionnaire twice?
Well, I believe, and this is just my belief, it related to a change in what they understood the station attendant activities and duties to involve.
Right.
And so that it may have been a case where they wanted more information. The facts that we have don't give us enough information to really understand that.
And so, David, I suppose where this gets really interesting is the subpoena itself to get the medical records. How broad, how general is it?
Well, the Metro Trains Sydney did indicate to the court that the contents of the subpoena would be limited to subpoenaing medical records just in relation to the sleep apnea or related medical conditions. So if the employee suffers from a mental health condition or from piles or from anything like that, Metro Trains Sydney wouldn't know about any other medical condition, only the sleep apnea one.
But it still was relatively broad, wasn't it? Because they wanted to understand the extent to which he had sought treatment over that 5-year period of time.
Exactly. The reasons they wanted to issue the subpoenas is because they want to find out when the condition commenced, when it was diagnosed, and the effect of the sleep condition on the employee overall, because Metro Trains' argument was the greater the impact of the condition on his life, the more unlikely it is that he could have forgotten about it when he completed the health assessment form. And so that would then help them, in their view, demonstrate to the court that he was being dishonest.
So they're trying to prove that it was an intentional lie.
Yes.
Right. David, how surprised are you about this?
Well, the granting of such an order is highly unusual, and it essentially involved the court assessing competing interests of the employee's privacy on the one hand, as against Metro Trains Sydney having relevant information to enable it to defend the claim on the other hand. And the union argued that the granting of the order would amount to a substantial invasion of the employee's privacy, particularly in relation to his medical records. And the decision is a relevant precedent in the future where allegations of dishonesty are involved. It's highly relevant for employers because instances of dishonesty or significant exaggeration in relation to medical conditions are not uncommon in the workplace.
Shay, I can see you nodding your head at this.
I do think there's some significance to the case, so I do agree.
Yeah. Are you surprised?
I'm surprised because this is an adverse action case, and what's really interesting about adverse action cases is that they don't actually turn on objective truth. So when you read this decision, there's discussion in the decision about finding out the objective truth about whether or not this employee was being deliberately deceptive when they didn't tick the box. But the actual case itself won't turn on that question. The actual case will turn on the question of the subjective intention, the subjective rationale for the decision maker's decision to dismiss. Now, that decision can really only be assessed by reference to the facts known to that decision maker at the time. It's actually not relevant. That information can't actually inform us about what that decision maker knew or did not know at the time they made the decision, and as to what they were actually thinking when they decided to dismiss. So really...
So you were talking about the head of HR or whoever
correct.
This individual was.
The person
there was a more colourful description
<That's right. laughs>
of that role.
But the person who made the decision, who said, we're going to dismiss you because you did not tick this box, you've been dishonest. That's why they say they dismiss them. The union says that they dismiss them because of their industrial activities. That is the primary question. And objective truth is not relevant there. There are adverse action cases where For example, one of my favourites, where an employer dismissed an employee who, because the employer believed that the employee had produced a false sick leave medical certificate. Now, subsequently at trial, it was established that the certificate was not false, but the point was that the subjective rationale of that decision maker, he had believed it was false, and therefore he had not acted, he had not taken the adverse action for a prohibited reason. And so what surprises me about this case is that the question as to honesty goes to remedy. It goes to the question of reinstatement. This employee may not win their case. They may get nowhere near reinstatement. Adverse action cases are very difficult to win because of the subjective element in the decision maker's mind. And their medical records for 5 years are being accessed over a remedy they may not get, over a dishonesty claim because they didn't tick a box on a form when they had ticked the box 6 weeks earlier. I am really surprised. I think that this is an invasion of this employee's privacy on a flimsy, flimsy pretext.
And do you agree with that, David?
Look, generally, yes, Hamish. Certainly, I think it is it was a line ball decision. And indeed, I don't know whether the union is considering appealing it, but if it went to the full court or the federal court, it would be difficult to predict which way it could go. It could easily go either way.
But if you're another employer looking at this case and trying to understand its implications, and you say, well, we do our best to get employers to disclose relevant information with regards to their health history, and sometimes they provide conflicting information, and there might be circumstances where there's public risk, and we might have a reasonable expectation of finding out more or desire to find out more. Why wouldn't an employer look at this and say, you know what, we might go after all our employees' health records here?
Now, you're quite correct, Hamish. I mean, to be able to justify the case for an order to be made, there'd have to be some reasonable grounds for a belief that there had been dishonest conduct. And in this case, Metro Trains Sydney were able to satisfy the court of that. But if you had reasonable grounds for that potential belief, then yes, employers will be interested in looking at the potential for this sort of order to be made.
And could an employer, for example, decide that they want to go after someone's mental health records?
Well, again, if dishonesty is involved, yes, whether it's a physical or mental health condition, the relevant issue is whether there's the belief about dishonesty.
Shay?
Yeah, I completely agree. What this is doing, and it's a part of a general trend we see in labour law cases, you see them in unfair dismissal cases, you see them elsewhere, is an elevation of this concept of absolute honesty on the part of employees because of the relationship of employment, that they have, that there is this absolute honesty expected. And even cases where you've got, there's a famous Fair Work Commission case where you've got an employee not telling the full truth about their private life, then led to the employer being able to ask questions about their private life and dismiss them because they hadn't been 100% honest about things that had happened in their private life because of the, again, a flimsy argument about its potential impact on the workplace. So where you can show a level of connection to the workplace, this question of honesty is becoming really quite significant in labour law, that it gives you this right to access an employee's personal information on this sort of shibboleth of honesty. And this is not the only example where we're seeing this elevation of this concept.
Very briefly, Shay, should we be thinking more carefully next time we fill out a questionnaire at work?
I think we should be. I think we should, of course, always think very carefully when we fill out a questionnaire. But this employee had filled this questionnaire out 6 weeks earlier, and they had filled it out honestly 6 weeks earlier. And to my mind, I look at this and go, he was ticking boxes, you know. We've all missed boxes on forms when we tick boxes, especially when we filled the form out 6 weeks ago. You know, start to worry about my employer sending me a form every 4 weeks. Right. And if I accidentally, you know, make an inconsistency, I'm in trouble, right?
Shay McChrystal, David Thompson, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you,
it's
Hamish.
A pleasure.